Fresh out of law school and on his first day in private practice, Superior Attorney Toby Markovich was appointed to take a case of a man who couldn't afford a lawyer. Markovich demanded a preliminary hearing. The judge didn't like that and threatened to cite him for contempt of court. That was 1954, 9 years before the Gideon decision.
We got paid nothing to do this, but my client, shortly before deer season opened, brought me a big bag of venison. But anyhow, that was my first experience with being appointed counsel, and it was almost my last.
The judge didn't hold Markovich in contempt, but while judges in Wisconsin generally did appoint a lawyer for people who couldn't afford one, Douglas County Public Defender J. Patrick O'Neill says it was often long after a person had been charged and interrogated and not long before the trial began.
If he felt the person deserved representation, he'd say, "Bailiff, go find a lawyer." Bailiff would go out, wander the halls of the courthouse, maybe go down to the local coffee shop, whatever. When he found the guy that he recognized was a lawyer, "The judge wants you right now," drag him into court. The judge would say, "You know, Mr. Lawyer, here's your new client. There you go."
O'Neill says more than half of the people accused of crimes in Douglas County qualify for a court-appointed attorney. Before Gideon, it was hit or miss if a judge would appoint representation in most states. The Constitution Project's Criminal Justice Policy Counsel Liz Fossey says the lack of legal expertise aside, a courtroom is a pretty intimidating place for a person without an attorney.
It meant that they were facing the great resources of the state against them.
That means police, investigators, prosecuting attorneys, and a judge. Before Gideon, Fossey says many people were found guilty of crimes they didn't commit.
Unfortunately, we don't really know how much injustice was done. According to the National Registry of Exonerations, we now are at over 1,200 individuals who have been exonerated for crimes that they did not commit. Unfortunately, that's probably just the tip of the iceberg.
On June 3rd, 1961, Clarence Gideon was convicted of stealing wine and change from a vending machine in a Florida pool hall. He asked for but was denied an attorney. Sentenced to 5 years in prison, the man with an eighth-grade education wrote a letter to the U.S. Supreme Court asking for a new trial. In an archival interview, Gideon said he didn't need a law degree to write that letter.
"I thought that was a constitutional right, and I didn't know no different. Another man with money can hire a lawyer to represent him. He'd get a better chance in a trial than I would get without an attorney. To me, that was just common sense. There was no argument to it."
On March 13, 1963, the court ruled unanimously that Clarence Gideon's constitutional rights were violated and that everyone has the right to counsel. Gideon was found innocent in a second trial. Still practicing law in Superior, Toby Markovich says Gideon changed everything.
"Yeah, I mean, we were getting probably too many assigned cases as private attorneys before the public defenders system came in effect, but after Gideon, it was overwhelming."
State legislatures funded public defender programs, and people who couldn't afford an attorney got one.
"It was a good thing. Even when I was a prosecutor, I really felt that it was important for defendants to have their rights preserved. There was some bad stuff going on occasions, people actually being deprived of rights, given bad information, sometimes maybe deliberately."
Mike Simons in Wisconsin Public Radio in Superior.